Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here till 6:30 tonight. And at 6:30, we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. And it'll be our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas will be the host. His guest tonight will be Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. And his guest will be former NFL defensive back, and he coaches the secondary now for the Saints, Marcus Robertson. And then on 105.3 FM, it'll be Monday Night Football. The San Francisco 49ers playing the Detroit Lions. He's here each and every Monday night, Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. I see you got the big boss out watching, making sure that you don't screw things up over here. So be good tonight.
You
got to put the bat in the hand.
It's all good, man. And looking forward to tomorrow, man. Big time at the big New Year's Eve with the Silver Slipper.
Yeah, and we got LSU coverage.
LSU, exactly.
We'll be doing 2:30. Herb Tyler, myself, Luke, who's also here with us. We start at 10 o'clock at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll take it till 12:30, and then we'll throw it to the LSU radio network. And then in the afternoon, LSU playing Baylor. It'll be an interesting game. Man, LSU, if I'm Garrett Nussmeyer, one thing I'm doing, I don't have three of my starting offensive linemen, no Mason Taylor, no Kyron Lacy. I'm getting rid of that football real fast.
The ball's coming out.
It's not 1-2. It's 1. And before I get to 2, it's coming out of there.
So, Dave, did you watch all of the Saints game or what?
Okay. Man, I tell you, I couldn't bear the pain, so I went golfing with the. I went golfing with the ex-pro from Hornville High.
What?
Yeah, we're from Hornville, man.
Yeah, that's around my neck of the woods. That's right. Hornville High School.
But no, man, I just couldn't. Of course, when we finished playing golf, turned on there was the rant. So we got to hear you.
Oh, they had the rant. I'm just trying to keep it real. And be honest. And hey, listen, you can't find any greater fan base than the Houdat Nation.
Yep.
You know, we're gonna love our team. We're gonna keep it real. And the bottom line is, you got to win. It's just the whole Al Davis said, just win, baby. If you got to win, if it's not, you don't compete, you don't get like a ribbon, you don't get a participation trophy or win the league. No, you have to win. You have to win. The bottom line, did you win or lose? And the problem was, I could see we got waxed by the Packers. Look at the Packers. They're in the postseason.
They're a good team.
But the Raiders are sorry. And the Raiders came to the Dome and they whiffed us.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, Dave, and I thought it was interesting, the showing the NFL loves this. You know, we played, because we had played, since the Saints came on board and then the Raiders from the AFL to the NFL. And it was like, okay, this is the rubber match. We played the Raiders 15 times and it was 7-7 and one tie. You know, the first time the Saints ever played the Raiders in 1971, it was a tie at Tulane Stadium, 21-21.
That's your boy, Darryl.
So now, we're not even ahead. We won 7 games, lost 8, and tied one time. And then you think, Tulane Stadium, Dome Field Advantage. That's Herbert right at 500, 4-4-1. We played in NOLA.
Was Archie quarterbacking?
No, it's all three. This goes back to the organization. All I know is I played the Raiders. Guess what? Guess what my record is when I played the Raiders? 2-0. I know. All I know is Monday Night Football, 27-0. We whooped the Raiders. And that's not an opinion. That's a fact, Jack, because that's what happened. Look it up.
And he came. I'm going to hold my fingers a little bit apart. He came that close to being a Raider.
Al Davis wanted him to be
in Oakland or L.A. at that time?
No, they were in L.A. They were in Los Angeles. They went from Oakland to L.A., back to Oakland. Now they're in Las Vegas. They were in Los Angeles at the time. No, and then Jim Fink said, you're going to sit out and rot. I ain't sending you to the Raiders. So you had a hard-headed Kunas, and then you had a hard-headed old-school general manager. So how can you own me? I don't have a contract. No, so that goes way, way, way back. But all I know
is... We are going to get, and I'm going to do my best. I know a few people that can maybe have it done. a 30-on-30 about the guy who actually brought free agency to the NFL, and he's sitting right next to me.
No, if people think Reggie White and all that, no, I'm the only one who sat out a whole season. And it's not Luke either. No, and I told Archie this, like when Peyton Eli, they get all that money, I should get like 1% of all these future contracts.
It's like a bookie trying to get money from somebody.
Yeah, yeah. But all I know is you said, Abraham, well, what do you know about getting sacked? Or I've been part of the least sacked quarterback in a season. Get the ball out of your hands. And I know that Monday night game, playing the Raiders. I'm telling you, that's why Al Davis Swan wanted me.
You were his type quarterback because he wanted to throw the ball deep down.
I even have in my closet saved. You know how you save everything. I have a number 3 Raiders jersey in my closet. And he goes, you can be my new Daryl LaMonica. Because Daryl LaMonica was number 3.
So it's got A-Bear on the back?
No.
It's just a regular jersey.
It's just number 3 jersey. Just gave it, the white Raiders jersey with the black number, black and silver and all that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What am I going to do with that? I don't know. It's just, you collect so much stuff. It's just in the back of the closet.
You got to put it in the restaurant.
Don't get rid of it. I was going to say, don't get rid of that. Hang that at the restaurant.
No, that's a Who Dat Nation restaurant.
You don't have no Michigan Panthers? I seen a picture of you in the Falcons uniform in there.
Yeah, but
it's in the bathroom, too.
Which one? No, the Falcons. No,
Falcons.
No, that's Oakland Invaders. Hey, it's nothing to do with the Falcons in there.
You better think
about it. No. You can look. Michigan Panthers, Oakland Invaders, USFL, and say something. No Falcons stuff in that. Mo Bader wouldn't let me put anything Falcons in that restaurant. Come on.
Well, I thought you had put it in the bathroom just strategically.
No, Mike. That's actually. I'm not. They might have changed. I think it's USFL or Saints stuff. So
that one's not a Saints one. Dave, tell everybody a little bit what's happening here at the Silver Slipper.
Big shout out to Margie. She won the she's from New Orleans. She won the Mustang last night.
I saw the picture online.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's from New Orleans and won it.
And she won. Yes, and she won the Mustang. And tomorrow we have the Joni Compretta and Baytown Groove, a Bay St. Louis band, a great variety band that does a.
Man, I heard Witness. Somebody posted it online, and I listened to it. Man, Witness had them.
Our GM was out there doing the Cupid
shuffle. I saw that.
Can I get a witness?
And so starting January 1st, we don't get the TVs out anymore. We get an iPad out at 7 p.m. for the next 3 months.
Oh, Lord.
And then the gift of the month for January is this beautiful fleece jacket. You can earn it, play and get one in the Players Club. And
Bobby want that fleece.
Yeah, Bobby
wants
it.
I'll definitely wear that.
And then we continue with live bands every Friday and Saturday in January.
Okay, and they got the squares up tonight for the Monday night.
I guess
game.
This is a final Monday night football game, I believe. But
So, Dave, we're going to be here all the way through the Super Bowl, though, right?
All the way through the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so we'll be evaluating the playoffs and say what the Saints would have, could have, should have done and stuff like that. But we'll talk a little ball.
But we did right on this stage here have the show after the Saints won the Super Bowl.
Yes, it
really happened.
We want to do that again.
Yeah, we remember it, too. Yeah. We hope when they do it again, we remember that.
Oh, you remember this
too.
Place was packed that
Man,
time.
It was packed. Tell everybody a little bit what's happening here. New Year's Day, big game, certainly for bowl games, but man, y'all got a big spread on.
That's on New Year's Day. Nice spread. New Year's Eve, it's Blue Bayou is a private with VIPs.
And you know, Dave, you probably, because I think the Sugar Bowl couldn't have hit it better, Notre Dame versus Georgia. So you're probably going to have people stopping here at the Slipper.
The Georgia
Bulldog connection, and even Notre Dame coming down for that game.
I parked right next to somebody with a Georgia plate. I got out. I said, are y'all here for the game? They were like, yeah, it's the only place we could find a spot that actually we could get a hotel room.
Oh, wow. They
so they're going
out.
Back
they
and forth.
They
said
out.
We were lucky. I think that was a cancellation.
Yeah.
But they got on there and were able to get it. So they got a couple here. That big Georgia fans could not get anything in town, came here to the Silver Slipper.
Right. No better place to be.
That's it.
At the Slipper.
Exactly right. Come on down.
And, again, New Year's Eve. Tell them what's happening here.
New Year's Eve, we have complimentary hats and TRs. Give them out about 9 o'clock. We have complimentary champagne at midnight. And then we do the countdown right here live on stage with a really good dance band. The band plays from 9 to 1.
Yeah, I've been here a couple of times.
Yeah, you've been
here. Man, it was really, really nice.
That was during the worm on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right. Mike was.
Mike was doing the worm?
Well, if I fall, it would be a worm today. Well, man, because I ain't getting up.
So, wait, when you fell, he said, okay, you fell down. So, okay, let me do something. I'm going to do the worm now.
So hope somebody would pick me up. Dave, come on down
come
to
on
the
down.
Silver Slipper. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you both and the whole Houdat Nation, even though it's a sad time for us. You know, we've regressed and we're remembering those bad old days, but still plenty to be happy about this season. And look, guys, what I want to do with you, Mike, is I want to agree with you on one point, and then I want to take a different opinion from you on another. And the first is that where I agree with you is that when this team begins to rebuild, whoever the general manager will be is absolutely going to have to start in the trenches. And to take it even further, the interior of the trenches. That is, you got to go get a run stuffer. You said that earlier. And you're also going to need a couple of big hogs in the middle of the offensive line, because that was the area that, you know, when Sean Payton was the head coach, you had Jarre Evans and you had, that group that was there. And, so I think that's, you know, you gotta build through the draft and you got to do the smart picks. You can't just go and do like we did in the old days where you go find the hot, sexy player. We gotta wait on that. You got to build it at the foundation.
No question about it, Big John. And I think that's the key. It's building from the inside out. Because if you had a shot at a big-time quarterback, you never pass that up. But you're not going to get that shot this year. Now, you might get jackpot lucky somewhere and happen what happened with a Baker Mayfield or what happened with Sam Darnold. But it's not going to come via the draft. The good thing if you can get him in the draft is you got him on football minimum wage for 4 years. You don't have to pay him. Now, after that, you have to pay him. But, again, it gives you a foundation to put a lot of other pieces around that quarterback.
Yes, yes. Now, listen, I know that y'all have been reminiscing and enjoying the history and mentioning the Raiders and quarterbacks who fight and scratch despite a lack of success. And, you know, what better example of that ever existed than Jim Plunkett with the Raiders? Or even going even further back, Johnny Unitas with the Colts, because, you know, Johnny Unitas got cut after he was a number one round draft choice. So it's in that vein that I want to take the other side from you, Mike, and say I don't think the jury is out yet when it comes to the quarterback of the future being in the locker room for this football team. You may be right. Maybe Derek Carr or Spencer Rattler is going to be the quarterback that the Saints need. But Derek Carr is going to be looking at, what, about his 25th offensive coordinator next year, you know, if he returns to the Saints. And Spencer Rattler, I just don't think he's been given a real opportunity this season to show what he can do, because the lack of starting receivers, he's not had a chance to throw to Chris Olave. He's not had a chance to throw to Rashid Shaheed. You know, Juwan Johnson, I mean, never met a pass that he couldn't drop. Several times yesterday that really could have gotten the Saints, well ahead in the game. That seems to be the rule rather than the exception among the receivers yesterday. That put Rattler and I think in a very tough situation. And I've seen some passes and some decision making on Rattler's part that shows flashes of brilliance. So honestly, I'd like to see Spencer get another chance to work with the first string receivers, and maybe he can put a little chip on his shoulder and come out, you know, in training camp next year and say, all right, now I get to play with the number one string and see what we can do. Because, you know, who the hell would have thought that Josh Allen was going to be the steamroller he is right now after his first year with the Bills?
Well, you know, Spencer Rattler, the thing, he's been snake bit as far as supporting cast and who he's throwing to. But that's why I say you got to handle adversity. You got to weather the storm. You still got to keep confidence. I mean, that one play, that jump pass he threw in that Packers game was like, whoa. Not too many people can make that pass, and that was a dart. But then the next throw he threw, next pass he threw a pick.
Overthrew the shot.
Yeah,
didn't see the safety.
And so, you know, the cornerbacks love back. You know, like they play cover two, I think, then a cornerbacks love back and end up picking it off. So that's why you just got to, you know, fight. And you bring up Jim Plunkett. This not has changed through the years. Jim Plunkett played for Stanford when they were called the Indians. Yes, they were called the Stanford Indians. Now they're the color cardinal, not the Cardinals, but the color cardinal. They got a damn a Trifa mascot at Stanford.
True.
And it is the color cardinal. Stanford. Jim Plunkett was there. You know what I know about his mom and dad? You know, talk about adversity. His mom and dad were blind. His parents were blind. And Jim Plunkett, did he work out with the 49ers? No. Did he work out with the Patriots? No. He came with the Raiders, won a Super Bowl. You remember right here in New Orleans against the Eagles and Dick Vermeil in 1980. Jim Plunkett. So that's why you got to fight. Again, I say that over and over again. You know, everybody can be against you and all that, but do you want to be a pro and what it takes to handle adversity?
Just think, when he got brought in by the Raiders, he was a discard from the 49ers.
Yes.
They cut him. And how he got
Patriots,
on the field,
49 is discarded.
Dan Pastorini got his leg broke, I think the fourth or fifth game of the year, and, you know, was like, hey, get in there, Plunkett. You got to save the season for us. And ended up winning a Super Bowl for the Raiders that year right here in New Orleans.
Won a Super Bowl. And, Mike, if I can recall, when the Raiders beat, that was with Marcus Allen, when they beat Tampa Bay.
He was the quarterback,
he was the quarterback there in Tampa.
He was the quarterback
because I was playing with the Michigan Panthers in USFL. I remember I'm watching that game because we were playing in the spring and the summer. That would have been in 1983. So, yeah, you got to listen, if you believe in yourself, you have to have confidence. And if you have opportunities,
you got to
take advantage of it. But yeah, though, Big John, that's why Spencer Rattler, you can see the physical abilities there, and he has grown now. But you need to put together that first half he had was unbelievable. It was like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It was like, whoa, that first half was about as good as it gets. And the second half, not so much. And you consider the supporting cast, who you throw into, and the weapons. So, no, there's still some promise on with Spencer Rattler. As far as Haener could be an NFL quarterback, but not a starter. Oh, Bobby, you hating. You just hating. No, I'm not hating. I just think, to me, Haener looks like he could be overwhelmed. And Spencer Rattler is not in that situation. I think he has an opportunity to do some. Okay, Haener was not the number one quarterback coming out of high school like Spencer Rattler was. Right, Mike?
He was not.
Yeah. So when I look at that, so there's still, if I look at the future, and I still think they got a ways to go to catch Derek Carr because of his experience and all that. But I would put right now that if you're going to keep two quarterbacks, it'd be more Derek Carr and Spencer Rattler. And not necessarily Haener in that number. That he might have to go somewhere else. And I'm not saying, look, you want to be a pro and you want to last. You got to impress the coaches.
Now you're going to have a new set of offensive coaches.
Yeah.
You have a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback coach. They're not keeping status quo.
No.
Everybody's going to move on.
But you know who's the perfect example to be a pro and you don't get beat up? The guy from Tulane who was babysitting Tom Brady.
Yeah,
when they had the
Ryan
parade.
Griffin.
Ryan Griffin played with the Saints, Tampa Bay. But he lasted 11, 12 years. He never really started. But he was a pro. He got to make a great living. You know, that's why.
And he didn't get beat up.
He didn't get beat up. Chase Daniel, he didn't get beat up. He's doing a great job with Fox.
He does a great job, man. That's a real calling for Chase. He can really kind of break down the game real quickly. Thanks so much, Big John. We appreciate it. Come back. We got more Second Guess right here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line, he covers the Tampa Bay Bucks for the Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud. Rick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
All right, Rick, man, what a wild ride for the Bucks, huh? Because, man, you thought once, you know, Brady retired, and then there was a bunch of guys sort of tied with him, a veteran group, and you knew it was going to be a rebuild. A lot of young players, but, man, the Bucks have drafted well. They've hit on a lot of draft choices. Had some injuries, certainly, on the defensive side this year. But, man, they hit pay dirt with Baker Mayfield. And now he's in an elite group of passers in NFL history. He's one of 13 guys that have thrown 42 touchdown passes in a season with a game left. So, man, how big of a surprise has Baker Mayfield been to people in Tampa or people like yourself who's covering it? He didn't come in there with all the accolades. I think a lot of people thought he might be the bridge guy to the next quarterback. He's been more than a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, he has. And I think it's, you know, when you consider that he was replacing the greatest quarterback of all time, not a lot of guys could do that. But, you know, the thing about Baker is if you look at his story, I've always said, you know, going back to his college days, he was a walk-on, you know, at Texas Tech, won freshman of the year, walked on at Oklahoma, won the Heisman Trophy, you know, first pick overall to a really bad franchise. You got him in the playoffs after 3 years. Bounced around four teams in about 18 months, really. And, you know, he's learned a lot. He's persevered. He's fought through that. He's always been a talented guy. And, you know, he had some really hard lessons. And I think in Tampa, you know, there was enough guys left over from the Super Bowl championship team. Jason Light has done a tremendous job these last four drafts. I think most of their draft picks are still on the roster. And, you know, it's hard to thread the needle. You're right. You go from a team with Brady and all these free agents and all these salary cap woes to the second youngest team in the league. But you found your franchise quarterback in the process. And these guys really believe in Baker Mayfield. He's the Pied Piper. They follow him everywhere. He plays, the competitive level is obvious. And so it's just been a tremendous thing for both the Bucks and for Baker to find a home here.
You know, Rick, one thing I've noticed, and you look at this category, you know, you can move the football, but are you settling for field goals or getting touchdowns? I look at NFL red zone touchdown percentage leaders this season. Okay, these are all, like, in the postseason. Number one's Baltimore, number two's Buffalo, number three now, maybe not so much, but look at Joe Burrow, what they've done in Cincy. Number three, then number four is Detroit, then Tampa Bay. And number five's over 67% as far as, no, when they get in the red zone, they're scoring touchdowns. So that's a big feather whenever you're a quarterback that, you know, we're moving the ball, but we're getting in the end zone.
Well, and I think the biggest thing, the biggest change has been these last 2 years, even though they were winning, they were last in the league in rushing offense. And you can't win in this league consistently if you can't run the ball. You know, there's got to be a physicality to your offense, and it starts with running the football. And Liam Cohen, who's their new offensive coordinator, is coming here, and he just knocked it out of the park. He's probably going to get a number of head coaching job interviews because of it. But he spent, you know, 5 weeks with Baker with the Rams when he was out there with Sean McVay. And, you know, what they've done in the running game, both, you know, up front, drafting, developing some linemen, Graham Barton, the first-round pick out of Duke this year at center. You know, they've really done a nice job. But schematically, you know, they've managed to, to really keep teams off balance because they're so balanced. They're the most balanced team in the league, rushing and passing. And it's been something to watch. You got to give a lot of credit to Bucky Irving, who's coming here from Oregon and you know, really taking off and became a 1,000-yard rusher this past Sunday. And again, you know, the drafting and development, but the coaching on this football team this year with Liam Cohen, you know, with some of the offensive staff that they brought in, has really, really made this team a tough one to play from a defensive standpoint.
You know, Rick, when I was looking at this, too, you know, it's about being efficient and scoring touchdowns in the red zone. But you look at scoring offense, scoring defense, but they're scoring defense. If you look, what have you done for me lately since November the 10th where they're at, only Green Bay is Minnesota, and Minnesota's ahead of them, giving up like 18 points a game. They're right there ahead of the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Ravens. You know, and then Green Bay, Minnesota, like I said, playoff team. So when you look at scoring offense, scoring defense, they're scoring touchdowns, but also that, you know, bend but don't break, whatever. When you're giving up only 18 points a game as of late, no, that could shock the world in the postseason if you're able to do that.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a complementary game, right? You control the football. You limit the possessions on the other side. And really, Todd Bowles has been doing it a little bit with smoke and mirrors because they're missing so many players through injury on defense this year. I mean, their best player is Antoine Winfield Jr. And, you know, he's probably played not even half a season and has been struggling, you know, with injuries. They've lost three or four safeties at different times throughout the year. They're down a corner right now. You know, the strength of their defense is in the middle, you know, with Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey, those two defensive tackles that are leading the team in sacks, I think, right now. And so, you know, it's been tough at linebacker. Lavonte David is an ageless wonder at 34. He makes plays all over the field, but he's not the same Lavonte David. And there's been times when they only had one inside linebacker on the field because their guys were hurt, and they might play 25, 27 snaps with just one true inside linebacker. And so Todd Bowles is had to mix and match, and you know, he's, you know, had Vita Vea dropping into coverage the other day in Dallas. Like, it's kind of crazy when you watch their defense, but they've managed to be much better since the bye week. I think the opponents are part of that. Let's be honest. You know, they played the New York Giants. They've played some teams like the Carolina Panthers who, you know, who've been okay, but not great teams. And so that's helped the average. But yeah, if they put it together and you know, they can be a problem when they score first. I think they're 9-1. So it's, you know, it's a team that'll be interesting to see if they make it to the playoffs.
You know, Rick, I'm glad you brought up Lavonte David. I've always been a fan of his coming out of Nebraska. And ironically, you look at active NFL tackle leaders. These are football players. Look at Washington, Bobby Wagner, number one. Over 1,800 tackles, right at 1,800. Lavonte David, DeMario Davis with the Saints. He's right at 1,500. But Lavonte David, I always said this. You know, you look at Tampa Bay's defense, like Warren Sapp, the linebacker.
Derrick Brooks.
But Lavonte David, I don't know if he's that much of a household name. Now, if you follow football, you know, but Lavonte David, his production, like you said, he's still playing. They, you know, you might be trying to replace him, but somebody has to beat him out. So when I look at, like, even Wagner, his opportunity, you know, you might have to move. But Lavonte David and DeMario Davis, how can you not cheer for those kind of players considering their consistency? And you know they're playing hurt. You know, this day and age, you're getting beat up, and you're playing since 2012. And, come on, it's tackle football. It's not grab the flag. So I've always been a Lavonte David fan.
He's a great, great human being, too. And you know, I think those guys you mentioned, DeMario, came out in the same draft class. That's how far back they go. You know, the first part of his career, he was on bad football teams and never made the postseason. So nobody got to see him except in the division. And you really make your name in the playoffs. The other thing was, you know, that Pro Bowl voting being what it is, I mean, they used to, you know, consider him an outside linebacker and put him in the same realm as guys that were rushing the passer on every down. So that cost him probably a number of Pro Bowls. But if you look at his numbers, longevity has its reward. And, you know, the number of, you know, forced fumbles and interceptions and sacks and all these things that are, you know, splash plays, certainly tackles you just mentioned. I mean, he's right up there with Derrick Brooks, who played about the same number of years. I think Derek played 15 seasons. So, you know, there will be a discussion down the road, I think, about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If Luke Kuechly goes in, they came in together the same class. Luke didn't play very long, and I think Luke's absolutely a Hall of Famer. But Lavonte David is quietly racking up enough numbers, a little bit like Rondé Barber, who played – so long, but was on those Super Bowl teams. And now Lavonte's been on a Super Bowl team. So I hope, you know, at the end of his career, he didn't get it in the beginning. Maybe he'll get it at the end of his career.
One of the things, Rick, is the fact that I think Jason Light doesn't get a lot of credit, but man, he's got an eye for talent. If you look at over the last 3 years, maybe every draft pick has made the roster. That's amazing to me. That you can be that good making that roster year in, year out better. He's got a real good eye for talent, and he was doing it in what you might call a soft rebuild, but it really was a major overhaul of the roster.
Yeah, it was, and you had to do it through the draft because they didn't have any salary cap money after Brady, and like I said, it's hard to thread that needle. Jason has done a tremendous job. A lot of different coaches that have been here. He's still here. Somehow he was able to stick around. Not many GMs can stick around when they don't make the playoffs the first 6 years of their career. He did. And you know, I guess that's a credit to him. But, you know, since then, what they're looking for their fourth straight or third straight NFC South title, maybe the fifth straight year they've made the postseason, which is hard to do for any team. And, you know, I think the amazing thing to me is that, and he will tell you this, he's got guys in his front office that are spectacular, that are superstars. His two assistant GMs, John Spytek, Mike Greenberg, I don't know why. I seriously, when you look at Tampa, I don't know why people don't come in here and raid their front office, because those guys are absolute studs, and they should be GMs of their own teams.
Rick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. And, man, listen, you talk about a spread. 14-point favorites, the Bucs are over the Saints. So and they're playing for something.
Well, you know what's crazy, Rick? The Saints have always played well in Tampa.
That's the weird part.
Don't fall into that trap. That's the NFL. We know what's happening here. Yeah.
Now, think about this. We'll let you go, Rick. One of the weirdest games I've ever witnessed is when the Saints and Coach Dennis Allen was the interim head coach with Sean Payton. They beat Tom Brady, the Bucs, 9-0. I'm like, yeah. You said, what? They got to be a misprint. 9-0.
If you had the under in that game,
that's almost
good.
Impossible. No one thought, like, that was one of the most weirdest games I've ever witnessed. The Saints won 9-0.
And you think Brady's on the other side and you don't score.
No, that was the craziest thing ever.
Rick, thanks so much. Get over the hump, but you know what? They got the one that mattered, and that was in the dome against
the
Saints.
That's true.
And they talk about Antoine Winfield forcing the fumble.
And Devin White played a big part there, too. Rick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Always appreciate it.
All right, Rick.
Thank you. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Second Guess right after this break. We'll have more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.